Well, good morning. Good morning. We got some life in here this morning. That's good. Hey, I just want to take a moment and welcome you. My name is Michael Tropea. I serve here as the campus pastor. And if you're new with us, we are excited that you've chosen to worship with us today. It's our hope every time we gather that you not only come in contact with an authentic people, but an authentic people changed by a holy God. The one that we just sang to, the one we just sang about. And that is our hope for you today. And we're going to have a little bit of a switch up of a Sunday, and I'll explain more in a little bit. But just, you know, you'll hear and understand the heartbeat of today as we give Thanksgiving a little bit differently. And I'll explain more in a little bit. We have been in the midst of our Advent series as we approach Christmas Eve. Advent is this idea of coming. And we as a people anticipate the coming of Jesus and celebrate his birth on Christmas Eve. But the main idea I wanted for us to catch is not our anticipation, not our faithfulness in waiting, but God's faithfulness in coming near. Yes, we have anticipation. Yes, we care and are called to be faithful in our waiting. But the main emphasis is this idea of the Messiah. This God sent his one and only, and he was faithful in his coming. Do any of you, speaking of waiting, do any of you like waiting? Is that something that you're like, I love waiting, waiting in lines, waiting for things? Does anyone in this room love waiting? Probably no one. If you are, we'll talk after. But especially during this Christmas time season, we like hurrying up in a lot of ways. And one of my first jobs out of high school was at a place called Circuit City. It doesn't exist anymore. It was a competitor, for those who don't know, of Best Buy at the time, but it no longer exists. And if you know anything about retail, during the week before Christmas, it's insane. Especially, Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, is insane. But Christmas, the week before, everyone is rushing to get the last-minute gifts. And so when I was working at Circuit City back in the day, I was working in the video game music department, and we were short-staffed one day. And they said, hey, Mike, can you jump on register? And I was like, I've never done register before, and it's the week before Christmas. This is going to work out real well. And so what inevitably happened, we had only two people on register on the week before Christmas, and someone who's never worked register before, inevitably what happened is 20 people deep, my line ended up forming. Some people had to wait up to 45 minutes to get served by me. And so people came up to me after waiting that long, frustrated with me. Some of them actually got, it was interesting. Retail is always interesting. It brings out the best in people a lot of ways, especially if you're waiting. I even saw fights break out in line because of people having to wait. And then ultimately also people came up to me cursing that they had to wait that long. But hey, treat your retail workers great, please, because they're in the midst of a lot happening right now. But I got the brunt of people's lack of desire to wait. We don't like waiting. We don't like waiting as a people. We like fast. We like instant. We like now. It's why reasons why Amazon exists today, right? Because we want it in one click. They make their business off of it, and we are a people that don't wait well. How many of you, if you were to be honest, are in a season of waiting? Maybe it's waiting for a career change. Maybe it's waiting for a career, waiting for a desire of yours to play out as it relates to your family, to see a sickness to be healed from. Any of you in seasons of waiting, would you say? How many of you walked through seasons of waiting within your lives? And are now on the other side, and you've seen God's faithful hand bring you through it, but when you were in it, there was a lot of unrest in your soul. But you've been able to see God's faithfulness play out. We are people that if we're not in a season of waiting for something, we are on the other end of a season of waiting, seeing God's hand, and we will inevitably all walk through seasons of waiting. What I found out, what we will read about today, is that within season of waiting, where our hope is placed matters. Is it on the thing? Is it on the event? Is it on the outcome of that season, or is it on God himself? We'll read the story of Simeon today upon the arrival of Jesus. And from his response, it will help us really to do a spiritual diagnostic of our own hearts today. You see, what Simeon sings about shows where his hope is placed. And we can learn from this account today. So let's read together. If you would open to Luke 2, it will read verses 29 through 32. It's his song when he sees Jesus. Let me set up the scene for us a little bit. So Jesus has been born. It's around 40 to 45 days old. What's primarily custom in that time and space, if you were of Jewish descent, you would bring your child to Jerusalem as a form of honoring the Lord, a purification before the Lord of your firstborn. And so Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to Jerusalem for this ceremony, and they encounter this man Simeon while there. And if you read about in the account, Simeon is a righteous and devout man. He's viewed highly within the community at that time, but also within the religious community as well. And Simeon has been given this promise from the Holy Spirit that he would never see death until he saw what he refers to as the consolation of Israel. All that means is the comfort of Israel, the Messiah himself. And some people thought that this Messiah that they had been waiting for, some for 400 years and thousands of years, they thought that this Messiah was going to bring a change to their society, a change in their political status of not being under Rome, and he would free them from oppression and other circumstances the Messiah would bring about. But Simeon waited for this truth to come to pass. And I before reading this song, I just imagine what was going on in Simeon's mind. When, God, would you bring this Messiah so I could see him? What is it going to look like? What are the conditions around which I wait for? I'm sure there was in Simeon's heart question around his waiting, but when we read the song, we see his heart come out. We see thanksgiving come out, and we'll read in verse 29 through 32 together. After holding Jesus, he says these words, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." He was finally holding the promise of which he had been promised by the Holy Spirit, and thanksgiving is flowing out of this song. But there's two points of thanksgiving I want to put before us today that help inform our response in our seasons of waiting. The first point I want to position before you is this: Simeon gave thanksgiving for God lovingly keeping his promises. Thanksgiving for God lovingly keeping his promises. Verse 29 stands out where Simeon states, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." You see, the Holy Spirit revealed that to him, that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. And if you look at that, isn't that a crazy promise? If you put yourself in Simeon's shoes today, how many of you would be like, "I will not die until I see this promise"? How many of you, it would cause your heart to question a lot of things. But Simeon's response is thanksgiving for God keeping his promises. Humble thanksgiving that he had kept his word. A lot of these songs we've studied over the past four weeks are God keeping his promises. His promise to Zechariah that the son that would be born to him and his wife Elizabeth would, in his old age, would come to pass, and his son would be a forerunner to Jesus Christ. Promise came to pass. Promise to Mary, where the angel made a promise that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and she would birth the Messiah, and God kept his promise there. Last week, we learned from the shepherd's perspective, the angels giving them the promise that they would see the Messiah, the good news of great joy, and he fulfilled that promise. And this week, we look at Simeon, Not knowing when, not knowing how, not knowing how long he had to wait, but God kept his promises. And why is this good news for us today, church? Because God, as God has been faithful then, he will be faithful to you in your season of waiting. He lovingly keeps his promises in his ways, in his time, because he always has and he always will. His promises just might not match your desires. This doesn't mean that the waiting doesn't come without challenge, because it often does, or tension, or different ways that we think it should be, but we can hold to the truth of his word in full, because he did it in the days of old, and he is doing it today. God is faithful for his promises. You see, in my 36 years of life, I have walked through some of the things that I've desired and just prayed and held with open hands. And even a season of waiting 10 years for some things to play out, I'm now just experiencing on the other side of God fulfilling a desire of my heart after 10 years. But I'm also in a season of waiting for things to play out family-wise that I'm just questioning. I know he's faithful, but I oftentimes question in my seasons of waiting his ability. But when I read scripture, when I read his word, I'm reminded that even in my desires, I can trust in his faithful coming near, his faithfulness in times past, so he will prove faithful ultimately, his time in his way, because he's ultimately sufficient. And he has been faithful to come near. Simeon gave thanksgiving to God for lovingly keeping his promises, because his hope was in the Messiah, not in his waiting. His hope was in the Messiah, not in his waiting. And is that our posture today, church? You may be going through a season of brokenness and hurting and questioning God, but the goodness of God still will always prevail as you hold on to him in that season. Is your posture one like Simeon's of thanksgiving? Or are you holding on to something else other than Jesus himself? The second thing I want to bring out today is this. Simeon gave thanksgiving for God lovingly sending his son for salvation. Thanksgiving for God lovingly sending his son for salvation. It's such a simple point, but it changes the magnitude and eternal consequences of everything. You see, verse 30 through 32 explain this posture. You see, Simeon had waited for years, and now he was holding and looking into the eyes of a king. Not only a king, but the one who would bring truth, hope, and new life to all those who trusted in him. This is what Simeon had hoped for, and now he was seeing the face and the glory of God in this baby. The truth is today, church, all of us have been in darkness at some point. Some of us are still there. All of us lived in opposition to God at some point due to our sin, and we had no light in us. We were living without hope. And Simeon was giving thanksgiving to God because the Savior that had been promised, the Messiah of our souls, was in his arms, and God lovingly gave his first and best, not only for him, but for all humanity. No longer was this just for Jewish people, but all of humanity, the Savior had come. It was no longer about the season of waiting, the final event, outcome had come. No, the event was God's loving sending of his son, and we no longer are people that wait without hope. We wait in hope because of the salvation that Jesus brings. Hebrews 10, 19 through 23 speaks to the salvation of God that Jesus provides and informs us how we wait. The writer speaks this. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, him coming near, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You see, as Simeon did, we can give thanksgiving in our seasons of waiting because we have the light of salvation that is the Messiah, this Emmanuel, that God provided us. We can hold fast to him because he is our ever constant hope in the midst of question, in the midst of waiting. And I was thinking as I was preparing for this and sharing today, see, at the end of the day, in my season of waiting, if I can say I have the light of life because of the Savior of the world, that's enough. If I have to say that my desires for my life, for my family, and I've been waiting out for them to come to pass and they don't, I can still say I have salvation from the Lord, and that's enough. And that is the only thing I truly need, church. That's the only thing we truly need. That's the only thing that will satisfy. And what Simeon realized, what I am realizing, whether I leave the season of waiting that I'm in or not, whether I see the fulfillment of my desires I have for my life, at the end of the day, I have the person that is true joy, true hope, true peace, and true love. And that is found in the life, the light that has come near in Jesus. And that is not no longer a question of when, like Simeon was wondering. It's a question of if we know him or not. Are our hearts, church, giving thanksgiving for the God's loving provision of Jesus today in our seasons of waiting? Church, we have a beautiful privilege of living in this side of the story. We know how the story plays out. And are we living lives of thanksgiving as we look and see Simeon's heart? And are we leaving this place today enjoying thanksgiving, even if our season of waiting hasn't finished? Because he lovingly keeps his promises and he has given us the light of salvation that is Jesus. So here's what I wanted to do today. First service was beautiful in what God revealed and shared. And so oftentimes we as a church, we worship mainly through song and the declaring of the word, and that's good. We give thanksgiving to God through those moments. But I was just impressed upon my heart earlier in the week is that I would love to hear what God had, what we can give thanksgiving to God for how he has moved in 2023 in our individual lives. And here's what can happen in situations like this. When myself and Jacob are going to walk around with a microphone, and here's what can happen. Either we are nervous and don't share what God has done, or we can overshare and learn everything, including about your social security number in these conversations. But let me tell you an outcome of the first service we were in. Some people shared some things, and someone came up to me afterward and shared, I've been walking through that season, and I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that, and it gives me hope in the season that I'm in, even though I don't see the outcome of what it is. I've heard of hope that God does, and that sustained, that gave, allowed her to give glory to God, and that is what this opportunity can provide. And so what I would love to do is, if we can be so bold, and my challenge to you is just to stand up and say, hey, what has God been doing in your life in 2023 that we can think of thanksgiving to God for? And then we'll go into song, and then we'll share some announcements at the end. But what this does, my challenge to you is to step into a moment and share what God is doing. So Jacob will be over here. I will be over here with a mic, and we will come to you. Just state your name. Keep it to around 2 minutes. Longer than that, it can get pretty crazy. But just share what God is doing. So if you want to raise your hand, Jacob will go over to you right now, and I will bring the mic over. Right back there in the middle.
My name is Olivia. Mike, you mentioned changes in career and seasons of waiting. I graduated grad school 2 years ago to become a counselor, and I've had a lot of challenges passing the final test. And this year I was like, we're just going to pause and wait. And I asked for a job, and I got a really good job that I love so much. And it was really cool, the story of how I got there and the people that helped me get it. But it was just really cool to see God's glory in that.
Thank you. So I am visiting. I'm Beth Reed's mom, and I have sciatica. I've had it almost 2 years, and God has helped me a lot with it. But finally, in January, I'm going to have surgery on my back, and I am praising the Lord for that because I'm praying that I'll feel better and be more mobile.
All right, I'm back here in the corner. Hi, my name is Jake Hageman. I'm part of the worship team here at University Boulevard campus. So one thing that God has done in my life and the lives of so many young college students here is he took a group of us college leaders here at Grace and kind of put it on our hearts to begin doing these worship nights. And the goal was just for us to kind of take an active step of how can we actively live out our faiths in our everyday lives. And so it started just bringing together our small groups and just worshiping in one of our living rooms. And then all of a sudden, hundreds of people started showing up to these worship nights that we started putting on. And we had no idea what was happening. But we started that in February, and now we just had one a couple weeks ago. And looking back on everything that God has done in that time, like, it is just unreal. The fact that people have come to know him, that people are rededicating their lives, or even just being encouraged by singing praises or praying with each other, or anything like that. It's just been amazing just to see how God has worked in the lives of hundreds of young students here in Tyler.
Hi, I'm Aaron Watson. I came from Ghana to pursue my graduate studies at UT Tyler. And I got here without knowing anyone. But then when I joined Grace Community Church, it has been amazing. I mean, everyone got me plugged in, and I got myself well situated and established in this very vicinity that has helped me to finish my first semester. And I want to thank God for everyone here. And also for the great family here, for what you all have been doing for me and supporting me in prayers. Thank you.
Who else? Where we go?
Thanks for that message. It brought to mind a song that's been important to me for several years. It was recorded by Shannon Aducci, called In the Waiting. And the main idea behind the song is that God is in the waiting. So when we go through those waiting periods, we can know that God is there. Earlier this year, my youngest brother went through a surgery because of kidney cancer and bladder cancer that he had contracted. And the prognosis really wasn't good. So I've been through a period of waiting, wondering how long he would be with us. Well, he he passed on December the 1st. So it was at that point that I understood more fully than I ever have of the importance of waiting and simply being of service to someone that we love during that time.
Hey, I'm Gigi Waddle, and my husband Brent. We love our church. This year, God called my father-in-law home, and then a couple months later, he blessed our family with a sweet grandson. And I owe an apology for all my friends that have had grandchildren before me, because I had no idea how much you would just love your grandchild. God gave me two fresh, beautiful reminders when Bishop Brooks was born. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Looking at Bishop, it's just this reminder of God's plan for all of us. And it's perfect and it's good and it's going to glorify and honor him. And then the second thing it reminds me of is the love that he has for each one of us. We can't fathom it. I think I love my husband and my family big, but God's love for us is so much bigger. I just wanted to remind y'all of that, how he reminded me.
Just one other thing, too, just the waiting this year. The elders of this church knew there were staff changes coming, and we'd been praying and waiting and didn't know how long the wait was, but the wait was so much worth it to have these men and these women that lead our church. And so I just want to say publicly thank you to God for bringing these men and women to our church, from Kyle to Max to Jacob to Mike. I mean, everybody, we just want to say thank you so much to our Lord and Savior who put these people in our lives that have a hunger for the lost and that want to reach out and minister to this community. So just praise God for them.
Anyone else? Oh, we got one right there.
Hi, my name is Micah, and this year has just been a big year of change for me. I graduated high school, and my whole family knows this about me, that I was always a college girl. Like, I was destined to go to college. I kept up with my grades, and if anyone knows me, I did not go to college. But I moved to Dallas, and I have been working there, and it's just been a constant reminder from God that it has nothing to do with my plans, and it's always God's plans, and that he will continue to stay faithful through that.
Hi, guys. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to throw up. Okay. So I wanted to be a nurse since the fourth grade, and so now, like, going through, you, like, have this goal in mind, and now you're finally going to reach it. Well, like, applications were due in September, and then they were going to let you know in October, and I got put on the wait list. So, you know, after all that waiting, now it's more waiting. And so it was just kind of like, you're, like, always waiting. You're just looking for the email, looking for a call, looking for any sign that, like, they're making decisions. And I got the call last week that I got in, and so I cried like a baby, and
okay, so for the past few years, I've been really praying for God to put some people in my life that I can really enjoy spending my time with. And recently, he just has put those people in my life. And I've been thanking him every day that he has. And it's just something really special that I never really thought I would get the chance to have. And so I think that's just really amazing.
My name's Julie, and my husband's not here, he's at work. But we begged the Lord for a child for 4 years, and in October of 22, the Lord allowed us to officially and legally call Anaysha our daughter. Then we gave birth to our first biological daughter in January, and number two is coming in a couple of months. So we've really been able to experience the Lord's abundance after a long period of waiting.
And then, Gil's got one right here. All
right. One more.
One more. There we go.
My name is Gil, and I know there's not many people my age in this congregation. But I got up this morning thanking God for his promises, and that he's a faithful God, and he always keeps his promises. And he has promised me that never leave me or forsake me. And at 78 years old, he's still holding true to his promise. And in 2023, he's revealed himself to me fresh and anew every day. And so I just praise him and just wanted you all to know that even though you're younger, God will keep his promise and he'll never leave you or forsake you.
And then we're over time, but I don't care. I'm going to do one. So we've been, as a church, talking about for the past year, find your one. And who's your one? Who are you going to pour into? And so I just started praying. I got almost all the people I know are Christians. They're believers. I want to meet some people who don't know you. And then I got rear-ended on the loop. And the kid is a young guy, and he didn't have a job. And I used to work at a staffing agency, and I got him a job the next day. And then we've just been hanging out since, and he didn't know Jesus, and now he does. And it's just been a blessing with him. So God is moving in Tyler. There you go. So.
Isn't this good, church? Isn't this good to hear how God is moving in various ways? And he has not stopped, and he won't. And we can give thanksgiving to God in our waiting. We can give thanksgiving to God after our waiting. We can give thanksgiving to God if we're even not waiting for anything, because he has lovingly gave it all to us in his son, Jesus. And we can celebrate all that he is doing today, church. And so if you are in that season, know that there's people that you have heard and see him fulfill his promises. Some from, as it relates to family construction and giving a baby after a period of longing, some of getting career changes and him coming through. God, this is who our God is. Not that it doesn't come without challenge, not that it doesn't come without suffering and question, but this is who his character is. And as we continue to press into him, he will reveal himself in new ways as he did to Simeon back then. And we can sing songs of thanksgiving, church. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray to close this. We're going to stand and give thanksgiving and worship to God as we with two songs, and I'll share some announcements at the end. But let us just sing with hearts that are full today because of the Savior that has come near. Let's pray. God, thank you so, so much. Thank you that you are working. Thank you that you have worked ultimately, and you have come close in the person of your son, Jesus Christ. And ultimately, not only just arrived, but you went to death on the cross for our sin. And you didn't just die on the cross for our sin. You came to new life, overcoming sin, death, and the grave, and giving us new power through the Holy Spirit to live in hope. Live with true joy, with true peace, with true love because of your son, Jesus. And we have just given some examples of how we can give you thanksgiving for how you are working and moving. And we trust that you're going to work and move in new ways in our lives and what's ahead. And God, as we sing and declare and praise you, let us do it because you are ultimately good. You are ultimately the one worthy of our praise. You are the one who's ultimately holy, holy, holy. And we can sing that with a full heart today because of Jesus. God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand and declare that today, church.